Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 88 of the Rigbiz podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and as the global sports phenomenon of Wimbledon comes into Southwest London, I'm joined by my own version of Mr. Archie Curzon. How are you doing, sir?
Mate, I am strong.
Are you strong?
Yeah, okay. I am bursting at the seams to deliver some banter.
Well, you look jaded. You look tired, unwell.
It's been a tough week, mate. We're closing off Q2, and we're moving into Q3. And the end of Q2 is always hard work, mate.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that. You don't work in the city.
No, I don't.
You're a creative.
Yeah.
You probably support labor. The good thing is we're moving to Q3.
Yeah.
And Q3 is a little bit irrelevant. It's like that sort of stepbrother in the family, because everyone goes away in summer. No one really cares.
Right, okay. So it's a bit like yourself in the
family. No, I'm probably the most popular in my family. I don't think there's anyone in my family that has over 60,000 followers on Instagram.
Is that how you measure?
Over 11,000 connections on LinkedIn.
Is that how you measure success and love?
What else do you measure success on?
Well, I don't know. Your parents getting back.
Why did we get Greg O'Shea on the podcast? Because he had a million followers.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Didn't have any chat.
No.
Had a million followers.
Well, it's a good point. But it was your birthday weekend, Arch.
Yeah. It was
Forget
my birthday
Q3.
Weekend.
It was your birthday weekend.
I mean, that was mega.
Did you rock up to the sun? 200 people. Did they come join you?
Flash it away? Didn't bloody make it.
Make it to the 3 o'clock booking.
It's an absolute nightmare, but a really good story. It all started Friday night, Freddie. I was at home doing a load of meal prep for the week ahead, because I knew I was going to be pretty hungover on Sunday and not want to do bloody meal prep, which actually I do find quite enjoyable. Anyway, just as about to go to bed at 10 p.m., doorbell goes.
Who is it? Your neighbour who
changed it? No. Albert. I've heard from Albert for ages. It was my oldest mate from prep school.
Right.
Squiggles.
I haven't heard of him.
No. I hardly ever see him. Anyway, it turns out he'd made his way all the way down from his family's estate in North Scotland. They basically own half of North Scotland.
Wow, that's amazing.
He went to Sign Agricole. He's absolutely mental. And he turned up, typical Squiggles, in his yellow corduroy chinos, his blue checkered shirt, and his tweed jacket with 7 bottles of port. And he was like, right, Small Winkle, which is like his nickname.
Why did you call you Small Winkle?
It's a long, long story.
Okay.
We are getting, in his words, squiffy. And we polished off 6 bottles of port. Went to bed.
Between the two of you.
Went to bed at 4. I can't really remember much of it.
Wow.
And I thought that was the end of it. But you don't know what Squiggles is like. I mean, he's cut from a different cloth.
Yeah, he sounds like
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I wake up with Squiggles' balls right in my face. It's a bloody,
just the two of you?
Yeah, bloody funny joke. And he was like, ding dong, because his balls were moving like Big Ben.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, I felt awful.
And I can imagine incredibly dehydrated.
I went straight for my protein shaker where it had water in it. And he was like, absolutely not. We're talking 10 a.m. He was like, we are playing Edward Cider-Hands. So I had 2 3-litre bottles of cider taped to my hand by Squiggles.
Oh.
And he was like, you are not leaving this house until you drink it. Anyway, being the rugby lad I am, look, I know the rules. Once they're taped to your hands, you can't get them off until you finish them. So I polished it off. Apparently, I can't remember any of this, we walked across the common in the direction of Old Town, got near Old Town, and at that point, my chat apparently was like invincible. Like even Squiggles has been like WhatsApping me saying, mate, that period between 11:30 and 11:45, your chat
amazing.
Was unreal. And then I completely passed out.
So as soon as you got into the Triangle of Terror, you just passed out with excitement.
Had to get an ambulance.
An ambulance?
Had to go to A&E.
Oh my God.
It was quite serious. Very fortunately, I'm absolutely fine, Freddie. They let me out of the hospital
at
11 p.m. on Saturday, and I was right of rain. Had loads of drips, so I felt fine.
Wow.
They said I could have died with the amount of alcohol I had inside
me. Surprised me.
But then I told them I was a rugby lad. And the doctor actually said to me, try not be such a rugby lad.
Such a lad, yeah.
Because it is dangerous. And a lot of rugby lads who listen to this know how dangerous it is being a rugby lad, because you're just born to drink.
Yeah.
Anyway,
or end up in hospital.
The annoying thing is, looking back on it, if I knew what Squiggles had in store for me, I wouldn't have done my meal prep on Friday. I would have done it on Sunday because I felt brilliant. Like, I went for a lovely jog, and I didn't really know what to do on Sunday. I'm trying to FaceTime my dad a few times, but I think my Wi-Fi is messed up in my flat. Freddie, just before we go into the interview part of the podcast, one thing I realised this weekend that I need to sort of get back in shape. You know, I've got a charter arriving in September.
Yeah.
Yes, the rig's looking great, but I really want to get it in tip-top condition. So I've decided I'm going to cut out using my home gym. I'm going to get back in the gyms.
Okay.
I'm going to find a gym in Clapham.
Which one are you going to go to?
Well, good question. I've had a look, and I think the most high-end gym at the moment in Clapham is Virgin Active.
Virgin Active, well done.
So I'm going to give them a call. Let's see how we get on.
Virgin Active Clapham, this is Emily speaking.
Oh, hi. Is that Virgin Active in Clapham?
Yes.
I know this is quite strange, but your hold music was great. Is there any chance if I email somebody, I can email you afterwards, you can let me know? I'd just love to use it for, or something similar for my company.
Oh, wow. I would have no idea, if I'm being honest, who to sort of even get in touch with about that. I feel like your best point of contact would be to give head officer a bit of a ring.
Okay, I'll just drop them an email.
I can give you their number.
Bloody good.
Yeah.
No. It's really good. It's a good beat.
No, that's fine.
Go down well at Glastonbury, that. Anyway, look, I just wanted to find out a few more details. Obviously, I've lived in Clapham for quite some sort of considerable amount of time. Currently, I do a lot of home workouts. So I do a lot of sort of kettlebell stuff at home, HIIT stuff, but I now want to get back into the gym, looking to up, you know, the state of my chassis. So yeah, just wanted to find out, yeah, a little bit more details of what can I expect from Virgin. Obviously, it's probably the most premium gym in the area, which I don't mind spending the money. I just want to know what, you know, bang for my buck, what I'm getting.
Like, the best thing for you to do to book an appointment with one of us salespeople, right, and come down and have a look.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I just be totally honest and transparent, I just really want to sort of work on my abs quite a lot. That's the one thing that I think is probably gone out the window. The weather, when the common is hot, I love getting out there, you know, getting the rig out and chucking the pillow about. So I just want to make sure I'm looking in tip-top condition.
Yep, fine. Okay, so when are you free to come down?
Let me have a look at my diary. So we're Monday now. Let me just have a look. Okay, so I've got a lunch actually in an hour. I didn't even realize that. Okay, lunch. I got drinks tonight. Breakfast and lunch tomorrow with clients. Wednesday. Okay, I've got a private yoga in the morning. Thursday's open. I'm going for sushi at 2:30. So anytime before 2:30, but I need to be in Knightsbridge for sushi at 2:30. So
let me have a look.
And I'm working out in the morning. I want to get a workout quite early. I'll be working out from 7 till 10 a.m. And then, so yeah, between 10 a.m. and 12:30 would be great for me.
It will only be probably like 15 minutes really that we'd need from you.
Okay.
So you can have a run around.
And
so we won't take too much of your time.
Should I wear, like, can I come in like rugby shorts and like,
do you want to train or do you just want to have a look around?
Well, it'd be good to show someone like what I can do in the gym. If we got 15 minutes, maybe we could do like a 10 minute HIIT session and someone could join me and we could just talk through the membership.
We don't really do that. So the people show you around the club, show you what we have. We don't really do any sort of training with people unless they're members.
Okay. Maybe whoever showed me around, I could bring my foam roller. We could just have a stretch and just you guys could talk me through, you know, what to expect.
So do you know what time on Thursday you'd want to come down?
Yeah. Should we say 11? That's a good time for me because I would have done
11.
A lot of my work.
Okay.
At 10, I'd have finished working out. 10, I'd probably have a cold shower for 7 minutes and then have some eggs and then I'll pop down and have a stretch.
Okay, so that's 11 a.m. That's going to be with Mo.
Okay. And what's Mo? Is he a personal trainer?
No, we're the sales team.
Okay.
This is just for an initial tour to have a look around the club.
Will Mo be stretching with me?
Probably not.
Okay. Just in terms of the kettlebells you have in the gym, how many do you have and what weight do they go up to?
So we've got 5 pairs and they go up to 24.
Okay. No, that's good.
We've
okay.
got 3 weight that go up to 42 as well.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't got to 42 yet. I mean, that's the aim. But I think that I would have read is as you get older, you get stronger. And I think because I play rugby now, I'm not trying to bulk up too much. But once I retire, I think I'm going to get into sort of lifting big timber. A lot of the guys in rugby team take the piss out of me, but I absolutely love protein. Like, it's probably my favorite food.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
I love the area that Virgin Active in. Old Town's my favorite. I love this weekend we went to the Sun Pub and we took on the Triangle of Terror. So we did all 3 pubs. It was bloody good fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I blacked out. I blacked out at 1 p.m. And next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Sweet. Well, listen.
All right, mate. Great, we'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday.
With Mo at 11.
Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
Okay.
Love and Bye. Champagne. Love and champagne.
So, Archie, after watching all your escapades of the last couple of weeks, traveling the continent, getting in the sunshine, the Mediterranean fields,
I
decided why not bring that colour and that flavour to the podcast?
Okay.
So I decided to book in an Italian legend to bring some of that colourful flavour to the pod.
That's exactly what this podcast needs. And I am bloody looking forward to talking to Serge Parise.
Oh, no, he wasn't about it. He wanted a fee.
Fair enough. That's the way I am with other podcasts. If they want me, I'm like, it's a couple of bags up front.
Yeah, well, luckily, I did find one Italian man who wanted to come on for no fee. And it's the legendary Jake Pledri.
Oh, Pledders, let's bring him to the Colosseum of Banter and see what he's got. Buongiorno. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
How are you?
Not too bad.
I must say, you've got the most incredible Italian accent I've ever heard. What region is that from?
So I've got grandparents from Rome, or Roma, as she would say. But yeah, so I'm third generation. As you can probably tell from my Bristolian accent that it's been passed down, yeah.
And do you speak fluent Italian, Pledders?
I can speak enough to get by. I've been doing lessons and since my injury, I've been able to kind of take that a bit more seriously. It helps when I'm in the squad and around the squad, obviously, because it's in and around. But when I'm up here in Gloucester, there's not much Italian spoken, funny enough. So it's very difficult to kind of learn it.
Same with my Japanese. Very similar situation. You know, I do a lot of business with the Japanese. When I'm over there, I'm almost fluent.
Really?
But unfortunately, there's not a lot of Japanese in London.
Okay.
Well, there is, but they don't seem to frequent Infernos a lot.
Well, yeah, Jake, do a lot of the Italian boys know of Archie? I mean, obviously you haven't been playing rugby for a while, but when you were out in the camp, like, have you been following Archie for a while or is this a new acquirement?
It's a fairly new thing.
I have followed him for a while. I wouldn't say new, a couple of months maybe. You know, was tuning in for the boxing as well, so and keeping the tabs on that. I actually, you know, Googled Archie, but his name didn't come up. But as soon as I Google Pano, it came up that obviously he had won the boxing. So that's how.
Well, I just think I ran out of gas. What can I say?
At least you avoided the fact you got injured properly. Yes, you're still looking decent. Sadly, Pledders, you couldn't avoid the same fate as Archie in the sense that 15 months plus you've been out injured. That game against Scotland, I hear whispers that you're returning in the near future. Can you reveal if that's true? And also, apparently, surgeon said to you, you're never going to play rugby ever again.
Yes, so I suffered quite a major knee injury in Florence at the time, like you said, against Scotland. So I ruptured, you know, my ACL, PCL, LCL, tore my calf, you know, tore the hamstring off the bone, fractured my leg, and then subsequently had nerve damage. So I kind of got all that, as you do, fixed up the knee-wise. And we didn't find out till October whether I was going to ever play again because essentially a nerve can recover or not. And we knew it wasn't severed, but we kind of didn't understand the true extent until it started moving in October, really. So as soon as I got the first signs of movement in my foot, we kind of knew then that I will recover and I will play again. So it was almost a year wait until we knew the fate of whether I was going to play again, but on the mend and back in full training now. So this week, funny enough, is my first week of full training, full contact. I will be back and fully fit very, very soon.
What is it like mentally to go through it all? And do you sometimes want to give up?
It's as crazy as sitting on a bed, looking at your foot, asking it to move, and it just doesn't do it. So it's very difficult mentally and also kind of tough from our side of what we do, so like physically and attritional, to have that taken away so like sharply is tough.
It's pretty interesting, Pledis, that you say that, because I worked with a guy 2 years ago called Spankers, rather large guy. But when you were talking about looking at your foot, not getting it to work, he had the same thing with his penis. And eventually his wife left him.
That's tragic.
So yeah, just interesting.
Well, I was
glad
gonna
to do it there.
I was going to say,
poor old Spankers. He was really.
They've got pills for that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think he'd had too many of those in the past, and it sort of it taken its toll. But he was in his mid-40s, and he'd really had a good crack at it. And it doesn't work for our company anymore. Moved out to Bangkok, I think.
Ironic.
He's no longer with his wife, but he looks like, you know, by the snippets I see on Facebook, he looks like he's having a really, really good time, still smashing the booze.
Firstly, now you're back in training. Friends of the show, Adam Hastings, Luis Rees-Zammit, we're trying to get on the pod. What's it like hanging out with those boys? Because they seem to be up to trouble the whole time. Fake tan, whitening teeth, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it? They'll come in, they've got not got a hair on their body, their teeth are beaming, fake tan, they absolutely love it. I think if they were to go out, they'd be definitely the ones that would get the grey goose behind, even if it was an empty bottle, just for the image, I think. they'd love Infernos. I think that's where we'll have to take them, I think.
The
hallmark of class.
I've already lined up Adam Hastings for Infernos, and there's quite a lot of the Gloucester boys following now.
I always get confused with Adam Hastings because he always puts up photos of quite a hot blonde girl and he's like kissing her and stuff. But then if you look at it, it's a sister.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Hey, each to their own.
Well, they do it differently in Scotland.
Oh, they do it differently
in
Scotland.
We've had a lot of Scottish players on.
Yeah, they are a bit odd.
If you ever see him, just take the piss out of him, because if he stands sideways, we always say we can't see him.
Yeah.
So,
Well, let's briefly talk international rugby, because obviously you play for Italy. But you were Gloucester Young Player of the Year, and then the following year you were Gloucester Player of the Year before getting injured. And sadly, well, luckily you're in a comeback now. But do you ever regret signing up for Italy so early on and not holding out for England? And has there been any contact from the English camp? Only one more year of non-international rugby for you to qualify back for England.
No, I'm not regretful at all, really. I think, you know, when I was at the time when I made my breakthrough year at Gloucester, you know, Conor O'Shea at the time was in charge of Italy, and he got in touch. And you know, the prospect, if you look back, I think it raised my profile from kind of an academy player breaking into the team to an international player playing against, you know, in a World Cup in Six Nations, all this kind of, you know, stuff that I've now done before my injury was crazy for what kind of the age and the profile I come, because I hadn't come through the academy. I had got, you know, Bristol released me, went to Hartbury, got to Gloucester. So it wasn't like a clean cut. And then to be given the opportunity to play in the World Cup, Six Nations, all this kind of stuff, was, I was never going to say no. And if I was to go back in time, I'd do exactly the same. Like I wouldn't wait around for a potential or a maybe or anything like that. I just need definites. And for me, that was the option. And the answer to Eddie, no, nobody's ever been in contact from that side. Which is, you know, that it is what it is. Like, rugby's a quick, fast game, and things happen very quickly and decisions are made. But I'm not regretful at all, looking back.
And I would say, like, I've actually had no contact as well from anyone in the England setup Italian setup, which is a real shame.
Why would you?
Well, hearing JP speak there makes me think that I probably held out too long for the England call up. And I think actually could have. There's probably some Italian somewhere, because I've got.
How about Japanese? You know,
probably is some Japanese down the way. And my dad got about. Well, his father's father got about. But yeah, there probably is somewhere some Japanese or Italian. It's a shame, because I've got this quite Italian look. A lot of girls say to me that I smell Italian. And you know, I think there is quite an Italian look to me, especially when I wet my hair with wet look gel and a tight white V-neck
and a bit of a tan
and my chain just over my t-shirt
and a fag and the Vespa,
a fake cigarette, and some nice red wine.
Are you too scared to tell Jake that you, for the whole of last season, were boasting that you were going to join the Italian team, be the saviour?
Yeah.
Tommaso Allan's got shit chat. You wanted to go take over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, there has been talk. Now I'm now in open talks with the Netherlands to go and play for them. Because Benders is going to go and play for the Netherlands. So I thought, why not? I'll go and play for them as well. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, Jay, obviously Italy isn't a traditional rugby country. I know they love their rugby, but not to the same degree as the other sort of European heavyweights. So can you give us a quick insight into what the drinking culture and partying is like post-match compared to the traditional post-match in England?
It's actually very good. So post-match functions, obviously before COVID, were like unbelievable. They are, so like, I go to say like some of the boys would tell them that we didn't have a game ready in like the ice machines, didn't have a game ready at all in a professional environment. But we were trying to save up for one. And this is just what was going around the squad. And they would rather spend $4,000 or $5,000 on going out on a night out than buying a game ready. So we would have to negotiate as like the S&C, and we were working with them to not go out 1 week. And you know, obviously they get their wine in, their pizza, they take the whole, you got like antipasta, you got your main course, your second plate, you know, your dessert. And it is absolute, like, it is crazy, way too much food, and they love it. And then to get the game ready, we had to sacrifice an evening meal, which obviously the players were all up for, but it was like the culture of like the kind of the people in charge. And it's crazy, but like the post-match functions as well are like unbelievable. I remember in the Six Nations, when I made my debut. So the thing you have to do when you make your debut is like everyone comes and chings a glass of wine. So if you're the guy that's made your debut, you can end up drinking, you know, 20 glasses of wine because everyone can come up to you and just cheers you, and you've got to down the hatches. So that was pretty good. But they're always in like unbelievable castles, like historic, you name it. Like it was like I'm talking like medieval, unbelievable, all lit up and amazing. And yeah, I just remember when we made my debut, I was late for a meeting because it wasn't on the schedule. And one of the boys, I was with my family at the time because they were all over for the debut. And then one of the boys writ in the WhatsApp group, and it was when I first joined, so I didn't quite understand what was being said. So I just ignored it because I was with the family. And obviously, looking back on it, it was, you know, there's a team meeting with the president of Italian rugby, which is like big. So I'm there having a meal with my family out, and obviously the meeting I'd missed. So I actually had to end up singing in front of all the Scotland boys in one of these like venues, so like suited, booted, and there was loads of people, and had to sing Black and Gold in front of everyone. But that was luckily I saved the vino till after the song. But that was always a good night. But to answer the question, yes, they love it, and that's obviously incredible. It's all food, and like the venues are amazing.
Obviously, you made your debut in 2018, back row. Did you come across friend of the show who's apparently the most annoying and horrible person to play against in Ryan Wilson?
Yes, I did. Yes, he was there. That night, he was there.
What was he like?
I had some horrible... So you have to shave your head as well, but they like take chunks out of your head and leave it. So I was at this, like, I'm talking like proper, like tuxedo event with like these absolute, like, the lid was awful and even more awful than normal. And yeah, so he was there that evening. So I remember seeing him after the game. And obviously he would have seen me sing my song.
He would have been there having a couple of Marlboro Lights, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, God.
Safe to say.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I didn't make it to the night out, funny enough, after all the wine. So yeah. I didn't get to properly mingle with him. But I've played against him. I've seen him on Rugby Pass quite a bit. So he's renowned for his shit chat, I imagine. Yeah.
He's quite a competitor though, isn't he? He does like the dark arts of like...
Yeah, he throws it about for sure.
Talking about having a shit lid, how did you fare in your Gloucester initiation? Because obviously you choose the milk or you choose the lid. What did you go for?
So you have to do... So it's 8 pints in 20 minutes of milk. full fat milk. And so you don't get to choose. So you have to do it. Okay. Have to attempt it. And if it's not a fair attempt, they'll just shave it halfway through or anything like that. Then you need to be seen to be trying. But you have 20 minutes to down the 8 pints. So you can go really hard and hold it for, I don't know, 15 minutes. Or you can try and time it, which everyone does. So on the 20th minute, you're finishing your last sip. And then after 20 minutes, you can puke. So if you do that, there are a few that complete it. But if you do that, so I think I did like 6.5, 7 and then was gone. It doesn't help as well when everyone's puking around you and it stinks. And it's like you're sat in this circle and it's horrible.
Well, Jake, let's talk family, because your father was a Bristol Bears legend who I believe, did he play a scrum half?
He started the scrum half, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he started the scrum half.
And obviously he's played a huge role in, you know, getting you to where you are today, being an international rugby player, playing for Gloucester. And I was just wondering, obviously it takes a lot of care, a lot of dedication. So how did that feel to have a dad who actually cared about you and looked after you and raised you in the right way? Because it'd be nice to...
Well, my dad did it opposite. He sent me to boarding school at 7, and I was brought up in the rough streets of Cheltenham. And
character building.
JP will tell you, Cheltenham can get pretty tasty in a night.
What, outside ZZ?
Oh, yeah. Outside ZZ, shit can go down.
But, Jay, how important was it to have a loving father?
It was. At the time, I would say it was not... Well, as a young kid, you said it was not loving, because I was almost forced into it. But obviously in a good way. But I think he was livid when... I think me and my brother went down to training, and we, you know, we started so young because Dad was so keen to get us involved. But you know, when we decided to not play rugby and we wanted to play and pick worms, and he was absolutely livid. So that's a big memory that he said the other day. But no, it was amazing. You know, as a kid as well, you obviously can't drive around, so to have someone to take you to the trials, take you to training, and just being that person that get you off the Xbox and kick you out the door to get you to training is obviously. In the time you like, oh, for God's sake. But obviously, you know, you reap the rewards later. And you know, it was really good. And obviously, he's the world's biggest critic, as most dads are. And, you know, kind of, it was difficult for him to watch me and not kind of analyze it or say that you can get better here, better that. I always, literally every game would be, you've had a shit game. This is what you can do. When you play for school and club, you've got essentially two sets of, you know, friends there that are amazing. And obviously, you know, you've got one common goal as such to to win. And you get, you know, winning and playing together is so cool. And you get so close as kids. And that's an amazing thing. And to have that in two separate locations, I mean, I'm still friends with my mates from the club that I used to play with when I was like under 16 and the 17s, and still mates from my schoolmates who, you know, play rugby with. It is pretty special. And I do love that kind of, when there was no cares, there was no, you know, you don't, if you don't play well, you're not going to get a contract. All the pressure, that kind of, that stuff that goes with professional rugby is obviously, you know, part of the parcel, but you know, as a kid, it's just amazing to just go out there and play and no shit's given, really.
I think that, again, it's very similar to sort of my lifestyle now, because I have the guys I work with in the city who, you know, I go to war with every day. And then I've got three sets of friends. I've got the guys who I work with in the city. I've got the guys I CrossFit with, the Chassis Monsters, my CrossFit team, who are a great bunch of lads. A lot of them are personal trainers. And let me tell you, they are bloody happy. And then you've got the Clapham Falcons, you know, one of the premier semi-professional rugby teams in London. And that's probably why I say I'm probably one of the happiest guys I know, because I'm never short of going for a drink with anyone. I just choose not to. I don't want to drink in the week, no way, because it's unnecessary calories. Summer's around the corner. The chassis is, you know, number one goal. Like we said, shoulders popping, then you're pulling. Okay. So, you know, that's the great thing. But the Chassis Monsters, Pledis, when you come down for a weekend, you will love the Chassis Monsters, because you saying about, you know, a simpler time where you don't have to really worry about stuff, that seems like that's their life, really. All they have to do is like turn up to a gym. Seems very simple.
That is incredible.
And they post some incredible content on Instagram of them just working out. So helpful and so good. And it's not saturated.
Really?
Enough, I don't think, to get, you know, that's the great thing. Commercial break.
This is another public service announcement.
Cause all the bitches out in New York, they don't agree, but they want your pubes short. They don't wanna be Calvin Fleming up with your hairy cum that's fucking running, messing up. Haha, it's the same with the girls in London town too. They don't care much for me or for you, but the last thing they want's a hairy dick if they ever decide to suck on your feeble little fucking prick.
And all the girls that I met from the whiskers time, they don't wanna see a little bush in their mother prime. They wanna try and see a nice trim cat to say, I finally found a man I wanna probably fuck today.
I tell you more for my son that you gotta know. All the girls that I fucked, there's no one for no. I fucked the blonde, fucked the brown, fucked the white. All the girls will love you, but only if you're a pupil. hesitate.
And do you love me, girl, now that I share my views? I wanna spend the rest of my life with you. I wanna make you feel the love I couldn't do before. Now I share my views, I feel like a new man, a carnivore.
Gentlemen, listen up, because we've just demonstrated that no matter where you go in the world, ladies, females, chicas, whatever you want to call them, despise a bush. They despise pubes. They despise them, especially in the summertime. But luckily, we're here to help. We've partnered with Manscaped, the guys who provide the best grooming tools in the whole world. They've made their name from it. And guess what? We're going to give you 20% off and free delivery on all their incredible grooming goodies. From the Lawnmower 4.0, which is waterproof, the highest power grooming tool in the world, which will get your bush gone in a matter of seconds, to their incredible underpants, their little sprays, lotions, their ball preserver, their deodorant, everything. You'll be ready this summer for a chica and to crack on, thanks to Manscaped and the Rig Biz. So put in the code RIGBIZ20 and you will get free delivery and 20% off anything you want. You're welcome. Now sort out that bush.
Archie, you obviously went to Bristol UE, which is the, you know, the bad...
Bristol. I went to Bristol.
You went to the bad unit, Bristol. You grew up in...
UE, or was it Bristol? Well, just to clarify.
Bristol UE.
I went to university in Bristol.
Yeah, Bristol UE.
Yeah, when I went for a job interview, I just said I went to university in Bristol.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously,
and they could tell by my accent and where my family had come from.
Yeah,
it was likely...
Chances are it went UE. Well, Jay, obviously you grew up in Bristol. When I was doing my research, it looked like you went to about 4 or 5 different schools. Why so many schools?
I did go to a few schools. So I started Elmley, which was my first school. And then we went to the Down School, which is out kind of in the countryside in Bristol. But that was literally year 7 and 8. It was like a prep school. So I went there for rugby, and we actually won the nationals at the Down School, which is good. But obviously then year 8, you need to leave. So that's when I joined Colston's, but only went from year 9 to 11 and then did college at Fulton College. So I didn't get sent to boarding school at like 7. So it was all...
You missed out. You missed out, Blenders. It was so much fun. You know, learning to be together with a room full of boys all doing the same thing. There is something quite special about it.
Yeah, as long as nothing dodgy was going on.
We just played this game. It's like who popped first?
Yeah.
Who popped first? Had to have a cold shower the next morning, and it was really fun. Actually, if you want to come round,
no, I'm
tonight,
okay. Thank
we can
you,
have
man.
A game. Okay. We'll do it in separate rooms.
No, I don't want to play.
it was that was the reason for it. Was always because of rugby. So I went to Colston's because it was a good rugby school, and then Filton as well because it was college, and there was the Ace rugby scheme to try and kind of get into the. They were very heavily linked to Bristol at the time. So
is that why you went to Bristol U?
No, well, I was just saying, for all the younger listeners on there, there's quite a lot of younger listeners that listen to this, and we always give them a life lesson. I think what Pledders is saying, if you are, you know, like me or JP and have a career in rugby, don't worry too much about the education side. Just concentrate on getting yourself as big as possible. In some cases, try steroids because they won't test you at that age, so you can get yourself big.
Jake, do you have a chica at the moment or
not? I do have a partner now as well, a fiance actually.
Congratulations.
Is it going to be a teammate who's the best man or not?
Probably not, just because I think it's going to be my brother, which is always a kind of like a nice thing. But
right. If I was you, I'd think carefully about the best man. What you want is someone who is known to be or have seriously good chat and some really good antidotes about being at boarding school. Plus, a good social media following that could probably help with some of the catering, because you could say to him, that best man could probably get you a deal by mentioning him on, you know, his Instagram socials, reducing the cost and then sort of adding to the enjoyment, and it will be a lovely surprise. And for a small fee, I could, you know, if you wanted to, you know, I could come and deliver some chat. You just write down some of the, you know, the poignant moments in your life, and I'll pretend I was there.
Yeah, make it all up. Yeah.
Have you ever been to a stag?
Been to where?
Have you ever been on a stag?
Yeah.
Have you ever been invited on a stag do?
Yes, of course I've been invited on a stag do. A lot of them I can't make because I don't drink. Sometimes I'm not drinking.
Yeah, but have you ever actually? So you've never been on one?
I've been on my brother's stag.
How was that?
Oh, so loose.
Yeah,
I had to go home the first night.
What did they send
you?
They
put me in a cab because I was so pissed. Put me in a cab all the way back to the airport and managed to get me on the plane back.
Wow, that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Trying to get rid of you, by the sound of
it. They were like, you are too much.
You're too loose for a stag.
But in a good way. I think it was a good way.
Well,
they had a really good stag though after I left. It's really annoying. I missed out on all that stuff.
But all the photos and videos came after you'd gone,
yeah,
right?
So it's really weird. Annoying. And they've... that's the thing. It was really weird because when I got there, I was the only one there making neck all the pints in the airport. So I was completely shit-faced on the plane there. Then I got there, kept making me drink and drink. And then I can't remember anything. Next thing I know, I wake up in Gatwick and I wet myself.
Well, Jake, let's get serious for a second because, you know, we're coming to the end and thank you so much for giving us so much of your time. But despite the mammoth challenge of being sidelined with an injury for nearly 2 years now, being told you would never play again and overcoming that, obviously this year you've had to confront the most tragic news which you could ever imagine. Can you just give us sort of a quick explanation of how tragic your life has been without the ropey, but also just a billion times worse since hearing the news that your brother sadly passed away?
Yeah, so it was, you know, it was like very, very sudden. It was like throughout my injury now, we've lost three family members. So it's very, you know, tough to say, especially during the heat of the pandemic. But my brother, you know, bless him, he's 24 years old and suddenly passed away. We still don't know the real reasons why. They can take a long time on a kind of a post-mortem as such. So we need to find out why. I have since that been checked out for heart issues, so I'm fine. But they do reckon there is something in the family because you don't just. I mean, he was fit and healthy as well, so it was, you know, it's completely out of the blue. And to get a phone call to say your brother's gone into cardiac arrest is like horrendous. To be able to you know, comprehend that is just crazy. And to even think it's real is still now. It's like I'm just, because I live away from home. I didn't see him every day anyway, but I still expect him to like text me or anything like that, walk through the door. To never have that again, it is brutal. It's, you know, you can't even put into words really. I think the most important thing is the awareness around the defibs. So we've kind of found that, yes, defibs are very important, but like, for example, if my mate, you know, obviously, you know, this is hypothetical, but, you know, drop down on a night out like Sam did. And I wouldn't know what to do, especially if he just completely just dropped. Like I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go. How do I know where the nearest defib is? How do I know how to use it? That kind of stuff. So Sam, they got a defib to Sam within, you know, I think it was 6 minutes. And I think the stats are, if you get there after 3 minutes, or I probably got this all wrong, but if you get there after 3 minutes, the chances of bringing someone back is significantly less. So it's just, and also we did find out, which is obviously traumatizing, but there was a defib around the corner, but it wasn't registered on the app, so nobody knew it was there. So it's little things like this. We just don't want Sam's kind of death as such to be that. That's it. We want to work on it. There's obviously issues. There's other people doing it as well. And you know, we're kind of with the foundation. I've also got a kind of side of business, so we're going to try and do some stuff with that to raise money for the foundation. Everything we can, really, because it's not fair or right. And I don't want anyone else to go through it because it's not nice at all. The worst thing about it is that you just don't know. Like Sam, we had no idea Sam had any heart issues at all. And to just kind of just drop down, it literally can be anyone, right? And it can happen at any time. So it's a different one to take, and how sudden it is, like, because you don't get to say goodbye as such, because it just happens.
Mate, well, I reckon he'd be massively proud of you. You just got to crack on and do your stuff in the field. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll live through you. And also when the foundation gets going, give us a hint and we'll do something for the foundation, whether that's like a sponsored Rick Biz run in Clapham. We'll get some people donating.
Definitely. Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now. So let's start with Tommaso Allan.
No chat.
Rhys Sammet.
Unless he's talking about himself, no chat.
Adam Hastings.
Chat.
Danny Cipriani.
He had the chat, to be fair.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, again, when he was talking about himself, yeah, he would shut up.
Charis.
He's got chat.
Johnny May.
He's got no chat.
Lewis Ludlow.
Terrible chat.
Billy 12 Trees.
No chat.
Ben Morgan.
No chat.
And finally, Joe Simpson.
No chat. although he doesn't shut up. But we're obviously, from the purpose of what we're talking about, yeah. No chat.
Jake, you have been absolutely fantastic, mate. You're awesome. You're a legend. Yeah, good luck for your return, mate. Good luck with the comeback. We'll be supporting you. And let us know about the charity when it's up and going.
Amazing. Thanks, guys.
What an absolute legend. Do you think you've got a chance of being his best man?
Potentially, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We got on very well.
You did, actually.
And what a guy.
But he said he didn't want a rugby boy as his best man because they're a bit loose. And like, yeah. Like we've seen from you earlier.
Yeah.
And you end up in hospital again.
Yeah, but they all say that. But when it comes down to it, everyone wants a rugby boy for a best man. They just know they bring the fun and the chat.
Chassis and chicas, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. AAA, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Curzon's question time.
Archie Curzon, the questions keep coming in for question time. There's no stopping him. I mean, Jesus Christ, the fans are loving this as much as you are.
Can I just say, I actually loved the gongs last week.
No, let's stop doing gongs.
No, mate. I refuse to ask the question without one big bloody gong. Can we have a big one this week, please?
Oh, please, Archie.
Go on, give me a gong.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Inspired by the Great Wall of China, that one. Yeah, incredible gong. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. That went on for a while.
Yeah, it did. Well, let's crack on with the questions because we do have a couple. So this first one comes from a certain Ollie Smart.
Hi there, Arch. Hi, Cloners. I hope you're both keeping really well. So I used to go to Dean Close School, fierce rivals with Charlton College School. Archie, I'm sure you're very, very well aware of this. I was just wondering whether you have faced any fiercer rivals than that of Dean Close and Charlton College. And if so, what are these rivalries? Love and champagne.
That's from old Ollie Smart. Yeah.
Smarty.
Interesting. Can't believe he's got a decent accent because he went to Dean Close.
Why not, isn't it?
No, it's a private school, but compared to Charlton College, it's like a bloody state school.
Right, okay.
But there was no rivalry.
Even though you're in the same town?
No, I don't think we played them at sport. I think they played all the schools around us that had, dyslexic people.
Right.
You know, your Rankums, your Shiplakes, like those guys. That was their banter.
So you never played
in terms
against
of rivalry I've experienced. Well, you know, there's only one rivalry that everyone knows gets everyone's bottom a bit moist. Clapham Falcons versus the Putney Pirates.
Yeah, brutal.
Which I cannot wait for that fixture next year. It's going to be a big one. I'm trying to get it organised to be on Clapham Common.
And now we've got another one from a certain Oscar.
I've never met a bad Oscar.
Afternoon, Mr. Archie Curzon. I hope this finds you well. Just coming with a little question today. What do you think of Love Island? Are you a common watcher? Do you frequent it on the daily? Or do you think it's a load of rubbish? Thank you very much.
He's quite short of breath, that man, isn't he?
He seems very unwell. Can you send him a message back and just check he's okay?
Yeah, no, I will.
What do I think of Love Island? Interesting question, Clody. I'll be honest with you, I don't have time for Love Island. And actually, I find that... You know, people who watch Love Island religiously, like every day, they are probably likely to have gone to a polytechnic university.
Right.
It's just that you just get that vibe. They probably went to state school and then went to a polytechnic university and played football or something like that.
Bristol U is a polytechnic, isn't it?
Well, I went to Bristol.
Okay.
And as my CV says, Bristol University. 3-1.
Okay. But you live by yourself, Archie. Surely have an evening, Monday, Tuesday night, when you whack it on, enjoy the chassis.
I do enjoy that there's some brilliant chassis and some lovely chicas in there. Don't get me wrong. I love to go in there for a fee, a bit like Serge Parise.
Right, and the final one comes from a certain Josh Perrin.
Hi, Archie. It's Josh here, fellow semi-professional rugby player and businessman. I've kind of always looked up to you as a role model, but I wanted to question your hair. With hair like that, are you wearing brown shoes? And are you really in sales? Or are you in recruitment?
Honestly, that is probably the most offensive question I think I've ever been asked.
He doesn't like your lips.
Firstly, he sounds like he's from fucking Essex.
Yeah, he does. I think he's maybe from Essex.
My hair is exceptional.
It's a work of art.
I get comments every day on my hair.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he plays rugby or not, Cleddy. but he's probably one of those guys who had a hard decision whether I choose hockey or rugby, and he ends up on the wing or on the bench, yeah, coming on the wing, and he's got a short back and side, tiny little legs, and he tries and hangs out with the rugby boys. I tell you what, mate, why don't you just fuck off back to Putney, give up rugby, hang out with hockey lads, and go and listen to another podcast. Love and champagne.
Well, Archie, that's about it for today. I should probably let you go because you do look incredibly dehydrated.
Yeah, I definitely need to get some hydration on. It's annoying. I forgot my water bottle. And I'm very funny about how I consume water, and I only take it now from my protein shake or my water bottle.
Right.
I never like taking a glass.
Good, that's fascinating.
It just makes me feel like the athlete I am.
Okay, well...
But yeah, cracking podcast. Really enjoyed Pledders. There's some exceptional banter dotted in and around, some brilliant banter.
This weekend brings back international rugby, the summer tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you going to be watching the England game on Saturday? 10 a.m.?
Probably be in my house.
Okay, that's not much fun.
Well, I've got planned between 10 and 11. To see how many press ups I can do in an hour.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so I'll probably just end up watching it there and then heading out. But I'm not drinking for a bit, Clodis. I'm going a bit teetotal. Just want to get the rig in good shape. I'm going to be popping down to Virgin Active. I'll probably watch the roster game there. Then I'll probably go for an inspection of the common if the weather's good, because I have noticed there's a few sloppy chassis thinking they can get onto the common. I had to remove a couple of guys last Sunday.
Right, what?
Their rigs were in all kinds of trouble.
You chucked them off the common?
Yeah, I just said, listen, lads, put the top back on, and I'm happy for you to sit here, but top stays on, and if not, you can take your top off when you've dropped a few kegs.
Okay.
I gave him my number, so can you just send me some photos?
Yeah.
And when I've okayed those photos, you can come back on.
But
some naturally do slip through the net. The common is a big place. Yeah. I can't get to every nook and cranny.
No.
So I'm actually thinking about probably do that most of the weekend. I don't think it's had a proper inspection for a while, so that'll be my weekend job. Just making sure everyone's running form is good, making sure that the rigs are in good check, and just handing out a few business cards.
Wow, that
chickens.
Sounds like a really fascinating weekend. Well,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Archie,
you're welcome to join.
No, I'm okay, thank you. But what I will say is, obviously, that's a summer activity. Summer is here. We've got international rugby to look forward to. Wimbledon on our doorstep, of course. But also, we've got our own little announcement, because, well, apart from the fact that people should use Rugby's 20 on Manscaped to sort out their summer bushes,
because
there's nothing.
Do that. Great gift. Great banter.
Just to finish off, we've decided that we're going to do an episode every single week to 2023. We're not just doing a summer series of 10 apps.
We are competing with the big guns.
We're competing with the big guns. So if you guys want to get involved, we're set to have a million listens by December, which is incredible just for this year.
Disappointing. I thought it'd be more like 10 million.
Well, a million's pretty incredible, isn't it, Archie? So, you know, we can
not
always improve
really.
On that. But if you've got a brand
million
or a company
pounds isn't that much.
And you want to get
million
involved.
Pounds wouldn't even buy you a house, really, in Clapham.
Well, if you want to get involved in your brand and company, then just send us an email, rubiespod@gmail.com. Anyway, apart from that, Archie, I will let you go.
Yeah, that's important, because we want to make a lot of cash.
Yeah.
So drop in, say how much money you got, we'll let you know if we can do it. And to be honest, it's the ultimate business privilege to have me sell a product.
It really.
You're talking to one of the largest stakeholders in the city.
Well, it is actually quite incredible, because somehow you do actually do very well for companies. But anyway, Archie, with that note, I will let you go, sir, and wish you the best of luck for the rest of Q2.
Clodis, love and champagne, mate. Love and champagne.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, eh. Oh yeah, eh. Oh yeah. Hey, what you want and what you will, working for your dollar bill. Sad to see the old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. And walking home a child gets killed, neighbors free to shoot at will. Sad to see that old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. And 9 to 5, you know the drill, weekends are a short-lived thrill. Sad to see that old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. Cup run it over till it's filled. Take until